Cheater and the Rude with Jeff Kreisler and Lee Papa, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa, calling in from home because I'm going to watch the debate that's going to start. Actually, it's on right now as you're listening to this fine program, unless you're listening to it on podcast, which you can if you go to the website of the Progressive Radio Network and click on Cheater and the Rude. With me, as always, is
Jeff Kreisler. I am calling in from a secure bunker because the Republican debate is on right now, and it is one of the many signs of the 2012 apocalypse. I just want to tell you this. Got a couple of interesting announcements. Number one, New Yorkers and those that can get there on Monday, February 6th, I am redoing my monthly Get Rich Cheating series at the Pit, and my first guest this year will be Liz Winstead, co-creator of The Daily Show. And author of forthcoming Liz Free or Die, we will talk all sorts of tomfuckery. And also, 2 weeks
Liz
from tonight.
That's a get, man. That's a get.
Yeah. Well, especially after last week when you goaded me into comparing her to who was it that always does the dog story? Maureen Dowd?
Yeah,
Gail Collins, one of them?
I don't know. You know what? It was somebody.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, I'm telling you now. 2 weeks from today, starting on this very radio network, starting right after this very show, is the Final Edition Radio Hour. 30 minutes of hilarious comedy, sketches, satire, insight from the minds that brought you a lot of incredible things. I'll be participating. Lee might be participating. That'll be great.
Sure.
So carve out an hour of fun, not just a half an hour.
Why not pimp it? If you're going to pimp it right. What are the minds that have worked on this?
The minds that have worked on this are from Spinal Tap. They're from Saturday Night Live. They're from Monty Python, The Onion.
You should get specific, though. You should get really specific because, like, there's been some kick-ass people. Not that you're not kick-ass. You do, in fact, kick-ass. But some of the people that have been on the Final Edition on the website.
Well, the main dude is Tony Hendra, who is George Carlin's co-author of his last book. He also, for those of my ilk, played the band manager in Spinal Tap. He was an original National Lampoon editor, a satirist of great renown. Mike Myers of Saturday Night Live has been writing some articles
and
for
Austin
us.
And Austin Powers.
That's true.
And
I guess there's
guru.
People that don't know
don't
him.
Forget the Love Guru.
Right, the Love Guru. It's actually just going to be every week we're just going to read as much of the Love Guru script as we can in Cockney accents until...
Wow. I think things can only go up from there.
Progressive Radio Network, moving you towards tomorrow's yesterday. Is that what our new motto is here?
I think it is. Okay. I think it's we're progressing towards a future that we can't tell you what it is, but it will be different than the future that you thought it would be.
Isn't that also the Green Party motto?
Yes, I think so.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think it should be the Republican primary motto, shouldn't it?
There weren't enough swear words in what you said to really make it accurate. But yeah, it should be some sort of we're progressing you to somewhere we can't tell you where, but it's better than Blackville. Come on, everybody.
Oh, man, nobody wants to be in Blackville.
It's all dark and...
No, sure. Yes. But, you know, things are all, as they say, cattywampus in the Republican primary. We had today, I mean, all the shit that happened today. We had, it turns out that Rick Santorum actually won the caucus in Iowa.
Well, it just took a while to, no, I'm done.
No, thank you. No Santorum joke from you? Thank you.
No, it wasn't. It was not better. It was just not done. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay, good.
It was a caucus joke is what it was.
So it was a caucus joke. Well, you know what? The caucus jokes are passe because now we're in South Carolina, so now there should just be deliverance jokes and hillbilly jokes.
Are you going to vote? What you voting for?
You know what my favorite Myrtle Beach, my favorite story is about South Carolina?
I'm going to guess it has something to do with Myrtle Beach somehow.
It does, in fact. So I was when I was living in Tennessee, which, as you know, is in the South.
Braggart.
Yes, well, you know, I've lived many places. Some may say they've seen the lights of Paris, but I have seen the gutters of Knoxville. So I was getting my my air conditioner repaired by an air conditioned repairman, and he was a fine country fellow who was talking about his upcoming vacation, and what he said to me was, we always go to Myrtle Beach. You know why we go to Myrtle Beach? Because you can drive your truck on the beach. It don't get no better than that. You just get to drive your pickup on there and ride along, sitting in the back, waving at people, drinking your beer. It don't get no better than that. And apparently, you can drive your car on Myrtle Beach.
Well, it really don't get no better than that.
Well, I've never driven a car on a beach, so I just nodded.
Well,
I couldn't argue with him because I had no primary evidence.
Well, when hot motor oil is close to sand, it skips the formation of glass and goes straight to the formation of retardation in your brain.
Wow, good. So then we had that happen. Now we have Rick Perry dropped out of the race today.
Good for him. Save what little dignity he has left. Go back to Texas where they might not have been paying attention.
I just love that what the election proved, what the primary season proved for Rick Perry was that turns out that George Bush was actually the articulate Texas governor.
Yeah, it takes a village to raise an idiot, and it takes Texas. I mean, if this is not an evolution or evidence of devolution, who's the next Texas governor going to be? Somebody?
I don't know. Probably just Gene Autry's skeleton.
So we're down to something that, you know, it almost down to the Gingrich Romney pissy off, which I would really enjoy Gingrich just sticking in it as long as he can, because he's not afraid to get dirty and vicious and just burn shit up. Like, I'm almost upset that this ex-wife bullshit came up, because you and I know, who cares, but it's the type of thing that, like, when Herman Cain was taken down because of his marital shit, not his terrible candidacy, and I hope that Gingrich makes it through, because I want him to just keep sticking Romney in the eye for as long as possible.
You see, I don't think this marriage thing is going to do anything. You know why? Because he was saved. Newt Gingrich was saved. And,
it's true.
And and Jesus has forgiven him. It's like he stood there and went, nom, 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 Jesus. Oh, yeah, hey, Jesus just told me he forgives me. And really, who can argue with him? Is somebody going to come up to him and say, no, Jesus told me you're not forgiven?
So,
That's the great thing about Jesus. I can just say, hey, Jesus just told me that I need to drink more of this whiskey.
You, I think, know the same Jesus I do.
Yeah.
He's a barback down at Anyway, yeah, Gingrich, he has been saved. He is a douche nozzle. People, that's the thing, is sullying him with this type of claim, it's like throwing mud on a slime dog. Like, it's already dirty. Everybody knows just from an initial look at Gingrich, what a scuzz he is, even if you don't know the whole backstory. So it's not going to ruin his veneer.
So this was from his second wife, who he was his wife for 18 years until he left her shortly after she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And the awesomest thing about it is that he'd been banging Callista, who's wife number three.
She was his assistant or a congressional aide or something, right?
Yeah, he'd been banging her, and he went to Marianne, his wife, and said, hey, baby, I mean, we're Republicans, and we believe in all this family value shit, but I would like an open marriage. I would like an open marriage so I can be banging my congressional aide, Callista,
who's got the hot pussy, and so could we do that?
And I don't know so much about the hot pussy as much as when someone's suffering from MS, they can't handle all of Newt's jiggly goodness. He's got a lot of jiggly goodness about him.
It really seemed like a deal one might have actually considered, which is, wait a minute, you mean I don't have to fuck you anymore?
Yeah.
And so how is that just not a good for everybody involved? But Gingrich was actually defended today by Rush Limbaugh.
Well, speaking of jiggly goodness, who knows better what it's like to make love to Jabba the Hutt than a man who does it every day whenever he mentions the troop by touching himself. The troops is the word I was going to throw in there as a casual. Anyway, yeah, I didn't see the extent of that. Tell me a little about that. Then I got to talk about
money.
Let me
see if I can quote. Let me read to you from Limbaugh's transcripts. Let me see if I can do my Limbaugh voice.
I got a great note from
a friend of mine. So Newt wanted an open marriage, BFD. At least he asked his wife for permission instead of cheating on her. That's a mark of character in my book. Newt's a victim. We all are. Ours is the horniest generation. We were soldiers in the sex revolution. We were tempted by everything from Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice to Plato's Retreat, Deep Throat, to no-fault divorce. Many of us paid the ultimate price. AIDS, abortion, or alimony for the cultural marching orders we got. Hell, for all I know, we should be getting disability from the government. That's from a good friend of mine. Newt's slogan ought to be, hell yes, I wanted it. I'm sharing with you how some people are reacting to this.
Wow. So I didn't even, I mean, I was just joking. I didn't even know he used the war metaphor so extensively when I was... Soldiers in the sex revolution. Now, when I think about Newt and Rush in terms of soldiers in a sex revolution, I kind of – it's like a ditch digger thing. Like what would their role be? Like are they the things that are shot out of the cannons? Like
in the sex
I don't
revolution.
See them fighting a lot on the sex revolution.
You know what they were – I could tell you exactly what Newt and Rush were doing during the sex revolution. They would get to the orgies. And nobody would want to bang them. So they would be forced to stand there on the side of the orgy and just start jacking off, looking at everybody fucking each other. And that made them so bitter and sad that even when they went to an orgy during the sexual revolution, that they could only get to jack off, that they became the anti-liberal cultural warriors that they became.
Because the liberal culture didn't work for them, so they decided they would have power and get congressional aids that
power.
Way.
That's right.
Now, I got to tell you something, Lee. What I felt during that wasn't even so much about the substance of what you were saying. I was ready to jump in with cheater in the rude and all that. But, you know, I think you've come a long way. What I saw happening at the beginning of your description of who they were was I involve a lot more descriptive use of like cups of jizz, like body fluids and bowls. Like I don't know.
Well, you see,
I think
that's
you've grown. We're expanding our audience, the people that would accept cups of
image,
jizz as a descriptive term, not within the context of a story.
Well, I you know what? I hope I haven't disappointed you. I could have been descriptive about Rush Limbaugh having to lift up his stomach and reach around.
I don't want to think about his sack. Like let me just put it this way. I was worried about envisioning his sack, and now I don't have to. And that is, as I believe George Washington once said, a pretty fucking good thing.
Yeah, he did. So, and so now Gingrich is actually tied with or even pulling ahead with in the polls in South Carolina.
And what's up with Santorum? I mean, is he just kind of enjoying his moment? Is he looking around for a graceful way to get out and get a book deal that he didn't even think he'd manage to get out of this?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's done after this. And Ron Paul,
is he going to go Gingrich? Is he going to back Gingrich? Because isn't Gingrich so anti? I mean, he's been saved, but
well, right now I think right now they all just fucking hate Romney. that the antipathy towards Romney is what's actually driving these candidates.
You know, if I can do my best Romney voice.
They're just jealous. It's just envy. They wish they had all my money and all of my beautiful waspy children. They wish they were like a Hallmark card. Oh, my God.
Cheater in the Rude.
That is my best Romney. Can I say something about Romney and the confluence of events this week? You know that I, as the cheater and everything, I'm always obsessed with money and the tricks that money plays and the perverse place that it has in our culture. But, you know, Romney had his whole thing where he wouldn't release his tax records, and then he basically said he's effectively taxed at 15%.
Right.
And this, you know, this echoes this, you know, Warren Buffett's talk about being taxed less than a secretary. And essentially the cause of this is because, you know, invested money, capital gains, essentially, to simplify it, are taxed at less than like earned money,
right,
which to me is an obscenity. Because, you know, say you buy, as one of our listeners gave the example of putting some money every year into an IRA, and it earns interest and it gains, like, you're only taxed on the interest or the gains that you make. So it's not like if you put $100,000 in the stock market and you take it out later and it's worth $200,000, you're just taxed on that $100,000 you earned. And the fact that people are bitching about going from 15% to 20 or 30%, it's just obscene to me. Like, who's not going to want to make 700 grand because it's suddenly it's not 850 grand? And the idea that, like, passive income, the income that you are not working every day at, is taxed less than those people that are, like, pulling their ass out in the cold and leaving their family behind to go work at, is sort of, I think, the obscenity. And I obviously am not yet articulate and succinct enough to explain this distinction, but I hope that perhaps that will come out, that Romney's this kind of obvious defense they'll use against his being attacked for his wealth, his defense is, oh, you're, you know, just work hard and be rich and you're just jealous and all that. It's not about you being rich. It's that it's an unfairness that the growth of your wealth is so unnecessarily disproportionate to. See, I'm not succinct or clear about it. And the point is, but before I let you jump in here, is the confluence events was today is also the day that Goldman Sachs announced their bonuses.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, to their people. And apparently, I don't know all the numbers, but apparently, at least in some divisions, it's down. People are very upset. And, you know, we can – Goldman is a nice, easy villain to paint a picture about. But, you know, these people get paid a pretty decent salary. Yeah, they make decisions in their life assuming they're going to get $100,000 or $1 million bonus. But it's a bonus. Deal with it. Like, you know, there was a study in I think, the Times or something this week about how – the Federal Reserve, as much as it's kind of lambasted, is essentially a hedge fund, and they make tons of money, but their people aren't paid. Like, there's no bonus structure elsewhere in successful businesses. And, you know, it's an entitlement, a belief that everything I invest should get 85% stuck with me instead of 70%. Or I work in an investment bank, so I'm just owe a bonus of $1 million, even if my business doesn't well. It's the entitlement society, I believe, is at the top, not at the bottom. And the right will make us think that it is at the bottom. And I've talked for a while, so let me make a funny sound and let you get in there.
Actually, it's funny. I was just reading about the Goldman Sachs bonus day and the bloodbath it was. And here's it was so bad that one girl, a trader at Goldman, said one girl was actually crying. And one other trader said, my number was so low, I thought I was fired.
Well, look, if you put your – and I don't want to judge people's life choices across the board.
People.
But if you put your value purely in terms of the money you earn, purely in terms of money is how you value your worth, of course you're going to be disappointed. But isn't that the problem, is if you put – your value as a human totally in terms of money, then in the reverse is you can value money as much, if not more, than humanity. And then you get decisions that will affect humans that aren't you. That's how you get decisions about the subprime investment vehicles and about, you know, kicking people out of their homes, even if they shouldn't be kicked out. It's like, if money and humanity are placed on an even playing field, then what's to stop us from fucking piles of gold coins?
Well, now, let me take the humanity out of this for a moment and say that one investor at Goldman Sachs said it was a bloodbath today. And the sad part is that it wasn't actually a bloodbath, that that they didn't just walk around cutting each other's throats and bleeding out onto the floor of Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. I mean, these are people that are not getting as big a bonus as they want, but they're not getting fired and shit canned like a lot of people were, based upon their own behavior a few years ago.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to veer us back to the election, because we have the whole thing about Romney's. You know, you were explaining about why Romney is effectively taxed at a 15% rate, and that's if he paid, you know, the full tax on the capital gains, because that's the tax rate. According to the tax plans that Romney and Gingrich have put out, Gingrich wants to totally eliminate the capital gains tax. So that means that Mitt Romney, who's worth about $250 million, would have paid virtually no income tax. He would have paid a little on the meager $375,000 that he made by doing speeches, but he would not have paid anything on where he got the majority of his income, because it was from investment income and not a salary. So Gingrich's plan would make his rate zero. Romney's own plan would lower the rates, although it wouldn't lower the rate as much on capital gains. So either way, both of them are running on plans that would give them more money.
Right. Well, you know, I don't want to risk quoting myself at stuff, but it's like, when it's the entitlement society at the top again, this idea where once you've achieved something, then it should just be a coast. I mean, that's essentially what they want, is to coast. Once you've got your $1 million, you're done. You should just coast. And it's frustrating, to say the least. I think, yeah, if you get your millions of dollars, you should have some level of comfort and security. But when it's done essentially at the expense of those that are struggling themselves to lift themselves up, I mean, this idea of the Horatio Alger story, you know, for a certain group of people, it's you can pull yourselves up by your father's bootstraps, not your own.
Yes.
I like
that.
George
Romney, who – is it George Romney was his father?
I think so. Doesn't matter.
Who Eisenhower said that changed his – was a flip-flop. Eisenhower essentially said was a flip-flopper. Was so – you never knew what side of an issue he was going to be on or when he would shift it.
Yeah. And Huntsman, what's up with the good-looking Mormons with the attractive families who got their fathers to support them and get them going?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? I mean, maybe that's actually – maybe, you know, people worried about Romney's trying to recruit for the church, the outlier, the church of Tebow of Latter-day Saints. Maybe it's not. Maybe their recruitment is, hey, look, we're all beautiful and have hot families, and if you become Mormon, suddenly your dad is rich.
I think that, you know what, I would become Mormon if somebody were to say, hey, we're going to bankroll the rest of your life if you become Mormon. Fuck yeah, I'm becoming Mormon. Hell yeah.
Lee, I don't know if this is about you or it's about me or what, but I really, when you started to say that, I really heard you in my future mind saying, yeah, I'd be turned Mormon if they said, you can have bangable daughters. Like, I just because the husband's got
daughters?
The bangable daughter.
What is
daughter.
Wrong
like, I
with
just,
you?
I don't know why I thought of you saying, what is wrong with me and or you?
You know, you know what? Do you want to tie this episode up in a tidy bundle? Do you want to tie it up in a tidy bundle?
The Tidy Bundle, is that the name of the Mormon underwear? Are they called Tidy Bundles?
Yes, they're Tidy Whitey Bundles. Sarah Palin also chimed in on the Gingrich ex-wife interview.
Oh, I miss her. Good.
Yeah, and she was on just in that great confluence of fucktardery that is the right-wing media. She was on Sean Hannity's radio show. And Palin said about the media putting out this interview now, I call them dumbarses. So she said dumbass.
Is that how she's coining the frame dumbarse? Is that her thing?
I call them dumbarses. They thinking that by trotting out this old Gingrich divorce interview, that's old news. And it does feature a disgruntled ex claiming that it would destroy his campaign. All it does, Sean, is incentive conservatives and independents. Incentive being the verb in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Is incentive conservatives and independents who are so sick of the politics of personal destruction because it's played so selectively by media. That's their target. In this case, Newt. He's now going to soar even more because we know the game now and we just won't put up with it. So good call, media. Way to go, covertly hype the Stephen Gingrich opponents for being so brilliant. They sure are dumb.
Let the Gingrich soar. Can you see Ashcroft singing that somewhere right now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let the Gingrich soar like he's never soared before.
Thank you. I didn't have the tune. I don't know what I had. Let the river flow, which is not.
And I just would like to, you know, to introduce Sarah Palin to the 1990s and talk about the way in which, a Democratic president was
And that move was spearheaded by Gingrich, who basically made his political career over the idea of we're going to demonize, we're going to attack, we're going to label people communists, we're going to label them anti-American, and we're going to find whatever we could. Like, that was Gingrich's – Gingrich has revolutionized American politics. He's already done it once. Now he's trying to do it again. He is a douche nozzle. I want to pimp out thefinaledition.com because there's this brilliant cartoonist who's doing these caricatures of Newt as a slimy slime, which are perfect. And also that gives me a chance – while we have about 3 minutes left to remind everyone – then in 2 weeks, the Final Edition Radio Hour will be airing after us, 8:30 here on Progressive Radio Network.
See, there's already a joke because it's only a half-hour show.
Whoa, that's crazy.
I know. Wow, you guys, your title is filled with irony.
You know what? That was the name of my high school band, Titles of Irony.
Ah, good. And how'd that go for you guys? Did you guys get laid a lot with that name?
Yeah. We used to play orgies with Gingrich and
Limbaugh masturbating on the side? Wow!
Well, I played the skin flute. You're welcome, world. You're welcome, 13-year-old boys who hadn't thought of that joke yet.
You've been listening to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa. You can follow me on Twitter at rudepundit. That's the Twitter thing, right?
Yeah, that's definitely the @ sign.
And Rude Pundit. And also, you can pick up my book, which is The Rude Pundit's Almanac, which is available through orbooks.com. And also, I have this thing going on where if people buy enough, if there are enough copies sold, there will be an updated 2012 edition.
And,
I have to sell 500 copies. We're on our way, but we're not there yet. It's almost like a telethon. orbooks.com. You can also go to it through my blog, rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Yeah, and also, everybody, you know, go, you're listening for free. Go buy Lee's book. Go buy my book. And then we're doing this experiment now. Go send me $20 through PayPal. Just do it. So far, I've made $1 million.
Has anybody sent you anything?
You know, I'm gathering quite a bit of money, and I'm going to put it together. It's not all for me. We're going to put it to a nonprofit, and we're going to do some positive work for the world. I don't know exactly how, but you just have to trust me. Like, you just have to
trust
the Republican candidates, and eventually we'll get to talk about trusting the Democratic candidates, too.
Ah, awesome.
Cheater in the Rude! Every Thursday, Progressive Radio Network moving you to places that you haven't been before.
Making you think thoughts that you never thought would enter your head.
Touching you with fingers.